Secrets Never Told is the first short story collection by Dermot Bulger, a writer so prolific in poetry, plays, novels, it's hard to believe he could have a debut to make at this stage. Not only that, one of the stories, Supermarket Flowers, has just been shortlisted for the Short Story of the Year in the 2020 Unpussed Irish Book Awards. And Dermot Bulger joins me now. Congratulations on that.
Indeed, it's actually wonderful to be, it's wonderful to be a debutante at the age of 61 and three quarters. And it's also great to be on a shortlist with Jackie McCarrick and Kit Duvall and Carolyn Hughes and Louise Kendi and Billy O'Callaghan, who are all great writers. So I'm in very good company there.
Yes, it'll be very exciting to see who wins. So it's 44 years since you wrote your first short story.
I still remember going out to the in Finglas to the local grocery shop and getting a copy of New Irish Writing with David Marcus. I was a schoolboy in Malevin College.
This was in the Irish Press.
In the Irish Press, yeah. And it's funny, I've been involved in with Kieran Carty in resurrecting it in the Irish Independent in its latest home. It has never gone away, that page. And to see my words there on the page, I never imagined that it would take 44 years to get around to actually writing a full collection of stories. But I'm a storyteller, and some stories come to you and you just know it's a big story, it's a novel. And then sometimes you know it's going to be one day, it's a play. And these were like in-between stories that haunted me for years that never found it. And they became short stories on BBC Radio or RTÜ Radio or Anthology or anything else. But when you write those short stories, they're always to a very specific length. And during when lockdown came, artists can have retrospectives and musicians, writers don't. So I just said, I'm coming to an age, I don't want my sons to have put this book together. And during lockdown, I sat down and I let these characters speak to me at their own length. And so I wrote these versions for myself. So it's lovely that it's out there and that people are enjoying it.
And what years do these cover? Are there some new stories? I know, as you say, you've changed some of them, but do they span your career while you were writing other things?
They're all new. Like, it's funny, the first story is about a writer at his book launch and somebody turns up who's the last person he wants to see. It was a story that came to me when I was staying, spent one night in a flat in London, borrowed by somebody in 1986. And I said, this would be amazing there for a story. And I never got to write it. And then the BBC asked me for a story 10 years ago and I wrote it. It came back to me. And now I've rewrote it properly. So they actually sort of, they're all written this year. And yet sometimes they come into your head and they won't go away. So sometimes it's 40 years waiting. It's amazing when you sit down to write them. They actually came back to me fresh.
Of course, we as people who don't write love reading stories about the writing profession. Tell us a little bit about that one. About
it was very interesting. There are sort of writers who are geniuses and they're so consumed by their own genius they never get around to writing. And then there are writers that are dog's bodies like myself who just do nothing else. And so it is about two friends and one is fossilised in his genius and has wonderful ideas but has no ability to actually, it's almost like paralysed by terror of his own greatness to write them. And somebody, one of his friends borrows an idea just to use to get started. And that idea takes off. And so he's living a lie for 30 years of his life. And the literary life is a strange life. I've never really written about it, but I did it in two stories in this book because I'll never write a memoir. I think John McGowan's only mistake was that memoir, which is a beautifully written memoir, but I think it's nice to keep the mystique around them. So there's bits of my life threaded through all these stories, and then there's bits of total wild fantasy.
Yes, because it is about that idea, the last person, this story. It's about, like, Jack, who's, it's not just, you know, inspiration versus perspiration. It's just that Jack does keep on going. He makes a writer's life for himself. Whereas Killian was a bit, he was gifted, but he was a bit of a dilettante.
And we also know those dilettantes, that sort of who actually, and I remember as a child, not as a teenager, meeting these people, being intimidated and terrified by them. And there's a second story called Arrivals in the book, which is about a writer who's been away from Ireland for 30 years and comes back. And he's asked to go to a hospice to visit a dying man who is convinced that they've spent their entire life locked in literary rivalry. And he has no recollection. Eventually, he realises he met him when he was 17, once in a pub in Finglas. But he's gone off and led this life, whereas this man has actually held on to this notion that there's this great rivalry between them. As I've got to an age in life where I meet people and people tell me stories about myself that I have no recollection of whatsoever. And it's about that thing of encountering your past, but realise that this is somebody's distorted version of your own past.
Yes, because when you're a young writer or an aspiring writer, you're having all those conversations, or a filmmaker or anybody in the creative industries, aren't you? And you're discussing ideas, and you're half the time there may be pastiches of something that's out there already. But you're full of passion about them. And I suppose some people hang on to that without becoming the artist they aspire to be.
Well, so a lot of people, they don't really understand how the creative process works in terms of how books are edited, how plays are done, and they keep this very innocent version of the whole process. And they also, writers are great prevaricators, and they put all these roadblocks in their mind to actually go on and doing things. But that's only two of the stories about writers, because I don't like writing that much about writers, but I love writing for women. And
yes, let's talk about the one that's been shortlisted, Supermarket Flowers. And that is a story, a very tragic story, and it's about two women. Tell me about the two women in
it. Well, again, this is something that I just was inspired by driving in the west of Ireland and seeing at the corner of a housing estate in the edge of a small town, there was a wall, and there was a plaque on the wall with a picture of a child who was knocked down there, and wondering who actually owned that space, and if the person really wanted that plaque on the wall or didn't, or were they, and so it's about a woman who has lost her husband. She's minding her two grandchildren like so many grandmothers are. She's very, very patient, very, very kind. She does her best for everybody. There's a crash outside her house, and a child is killed when a tourist loses control of a car and smashes. And the young mother becomes obsessed with this place, and she comes and she brings flowers, and we all see those shrines of flowers, and then the flowers become candles, and then she's there every night, and becomes this emotional tug of war as to who actually owns the footpath outside this house. She wants the wall rebuilt, and she wants a child's plaque in the wall, and this woman is very, very sympathetic for a long time, but in the end just wants her life back, wants her space back, wants her footpath back. And this woman is taken for granted by her own daughter, and the young mother, who's consumed in her grief, has no relationship with her mother, and they become mother and daughter as they fight this battle, this emotional battle. They're both coping with grief in their own way, one by retreating into their house and one by needing this public display to go on. I just found that sometimes you're driving by a place or you see a small incident and it stays with you in years and years later. It becomes a story, and that's what I love about writing the process.
Another story that I love from the collection is The Lover, which is really based on that in 1965 when they brought the remains of Roger Casement back to Ireland for internment here. And you decided to use that event as a way of exploring his homosexuality and the life he must have lived in Ireland. We think of that in association to his time in Africa, for example.
But I wanted to actually, I was very moved by Case. I remember as a child hearing the 21 gun salute or whatever, and when gun salute in Fingless had travelled, and my father's name was William, but he was called Roger all his life after Roger Casement. And when they exhumed his body, there was so little left. There was just a few ribs and a bit of the skull and everything else. And there's a man standing out in that crowd outside Glasdevin Cemetery who was a lover of Roger Casement. And he's remembering this other Casement that none of these people know or want to know, because there's never been any great clamour to bring the diaries back to Ireland. There's always been clamour to bring the body back. And he realises that although Casement was a great enthusiast and was a great passionate and great humanist and did amazing work in the Congo and amazing work in the Amazon jungles and really fought for justice, whatever version of Ireland he was trying to create would have no room for Roger Casement, would have no room for him and for all of those anonymous gay men who died in the 20s and 40s and 50s and 60s, and for him watching this coffin and knowing it contains so little of Casement's body. It's as if this state funeral allows space for all of these silent, unknown people, in the same way as a part of Casement's life was unknown, to actually find their place. So it was, again, a strange story that I wrote around 25 years ago and never really published, because I would sooner have my kneecaps destroyed by golf than anything else.
And now that you have published this first collection of short stories, Presumably you write short stories all the time, or are you working on something else now and you'll just keep an eye on the short story?
Well, in some ways I just wanted to wrap, you come to a time in life and you want to wrap up your life, not wrap up your, I'm not dying or anything, but simply you want to make sense of your life. And I said, I don't want my sons to be rooting around through book boxes and boxes of papers trying to find these stories. So it was a chance to put those stories to bed. I mean, I'm not as late as John Sheen, my friend, the musician who published his first collection of poems on the Great Collection when he was around 75 years of age, as I always like him. So I'm only 61 and three quarters, so I'm not that late coming to it. But it was just lovely as a chance to do this. And now I'm writing poems because this strange times of walking the streets at night and this lockdown that we're going into. And I think that you need to keep creativity alive, and you also need to keep small publishers alive, small Irish bookshops alive in this time. We need to keep ourselves alive and keep each other alive. And so I'm doing it by writing poems now and by hoping to encourage people to read books.
Exactly. Like Secrets Never Told, which is the new collection of short stories by Dermot Bulger, which is published by New Ireland. And the short story that's on the UnPost Book Awards is Supermarket Flowers. Dermot Bulger, thank you very much.
Thank you indeed, Kay.